The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
You're listening to Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman-Dearborn Community Schools. Thank you for joining us today. I am your host, Gary Puckett. And today my guest is your superintendent, Dr. Andrew Jackson. Our podcast comes to you on our nationwide media network. We operate with a team of 35 individual show hosts around the country. We also have 80 syndication partners and 17 different media domain platforms. We furnish on-demand media programming for over 3,300 small communities across the nation. We offer the Super Chat show format for school districts anywhere in the country. However, this edition is produced solely for the benefit of the stakeholders of Sunman-Dearborn Community Schools. Andrew, welcome back to another Super Chat.
Thank you, Gary. It's always great to be with you.
You know, a couple of episodes ago, we talked about some education-related legislation movement taking place in Indianapolis. What sort of update can you provide our listeners?
Yes, thank you, Gary. So as our listeners probably know, the Indiana General Assembly session has adjourned, and so some laws have been passed, final versions of them. Then we had two that we were monitoring that were started in the Senate. So if it starts in the Senate, it's called a Senate bill. Then it moves to the House. If those two both pass and don't agree, they go to a conference committee, and then it goes to the governor to sign. So that's all happened. And there's two in particular, which is Senate Bill 1 I'm going to talk about first. And then there's also Senate Bill 282. And that this is important for our listeners, particularly our parents, and also even with our staff members with some of the information as well. So the state has a goal that 95% of our students will pass the iRead test. That's a reading test we give in third grade. It's separate from iLearn and SAT, which our listeners probably know about. This is one specific test for reading only for third graders that they take in the spring of third grade. In fact, we just gave it a few weeks ago. One of the goals in the state is to have a 95% passage rate. Our corporation is usually right around there, sometimes a little bit above, sometimes a little below. But as a state, we're closer to 85%. Because of that goal, the Senate got involved as well to try to pass some legislation to help with that goal of 95%, and that's Senate Bill 1. And there's several components of it. If our listeners may remember from two episodes ago, we talked about it, but we weren't sure exactly what was going to happen yet because it was still being moved through the process. Now it's been signed into law. And there's several specific aspects I want our listeners to know about on Senate Bill 1, which is now called Senate Enrolled Act 1 because it's been passed. So the first is that we will be expected as a school corporation that anyone that is licensed as an elementary teacher, if they renew their license on or after July 1st of 2027, so that's 3 years from now, they will be required to complete 80 hours of evidence-based professional development on aligned to the science of reading. And they'll get an endorsement. They'll have to take the 80 hours of PD, pass a test, and get the endorsement. Now, just as a reminder, that doesn't start till July 1 of 2027, so that's still 3 years from now. And if you renew your license prior to that, that license is still good. So that's a really long on-ramp to get to that point because you can renew a license depending on the type of professional development you have and classes you've taken. You can renew a license for 5 and even 10 years. So it's possible someone could renew a license in June of 2027 and it would be good for 10 years. So they wouldn't have to re-renew it till 2037. So that's, like I said, that's a really long on-ramp to get this rolling with our elementary teachers. But that's one important aspect. Through a Lilly grant, the state is funding that for the first year. So they will pay teachers to do the training and pay for the training if you do it this upcoming school year in the 24-25. So that's an important aspect of the training piece of it. And then higher education schools in Indiana are accredited to provide licensure readiness for our teachers, basically the teacher colleges. They also have to provide science of reading instruction. So when a new graduate leaves a teacher program in the state of Indiana, they will have that science of reading. And that's a body of research, which we've talked about before, on how students learn to read and how we should be reading it. Another piece of it, which is new, is currently any third graders who do not pass iRead are allowed to come to summer school and take the test again at the end of summer school. So we always have the summer school in June, right after school's out. We normally give the administer the test again in mid-June. That will happen also. So in addition to third graders being allowed to attend summer school, they're also going to allow second graders to attend the summer school as well. So the state allowed a couple years ago for second graders to take the test, and if they pass as a second grader, they don't have to take it as a third grader. So we do administer that to second graders as well, and those students are allowed to come to the summer school and as a second grader if they want. And the state's going to also prioritize funding for second and third graders for reading. What currently happens across the state for summer school is they have a pot of money. We send estimates. They tabulate the cost, and they come back and say, okay, based on the amount of money we have for summer school and how much estimated cost, you're going to get reimbursed 55, 60, 65% of your summer school costs. And we know that going into the summer, like we're going to offer third grade reading and we offer some high school credit recovery as well. We know that there's a portion of it we're not going to get reimbursed for from the state, and we estimate that. So by prioritizing second and third grade reading, we assume that we will receive 100% of second and third grade reading summer school costs. And then across the state, the remaining funds that are available will be then divvied up proportionally for those courses, for those credit recovery and other grade levels. And then there's a few other important pieces. One is retention. I think it's very important for our parents to know that if students do not pass iRead in third grade, they will be required to be retained in third grade. The only exception, if there's a student that has an IEP and it's determined by the case conference that retention is not suitable for that kid, that student, they will be permitted to move on to fourth grade. But outside of that, there's also an exception for ELL students, which is English learning, language learning students. Other than that, all other students will have to be retained in third grade. You also will be required to attend the summer school as well. If you don't pass the iRead, you have to continue to take it until you reach seventh grade. So they will require that you take it in fourth, fifth, sixth grade, et cetera. So there's several rules and changes. What's really important here is that we will be providing more of an emphasis on reading, which we should be doing. And we've been doing with the reading literacy coaches that we've been using. And as we transition to the science of reading, but with a new law, we will be required to retain students who are not special ed with an IEP or who are not English language learners. And then we'll also be required to provide additional summer school support as well. We will have very few, if any, that have to be retained. But across the state, they're expecting several students in the thousands that may have to be retained if they are not able to pass iRead 3 by the end of third grade. The other one, Gary, the Senate Bill 282, which again is now called Senate Enrolled Act 282. So this is specific information about truancy and attendance. And I've had a few parents this year email me different questions about attendance, and I've told them, you know, right now just hold on until we have more information. But the state is very concerned with what they consider habitual truancy or high absenteeism that has happened ever since COVID. We had a lot of students staying home because of COVID, and the attendance just hasn't rebounded. So they define what that is, and that's according to the Senate Enrolled Act 282. If you are absent 5 times in a 10-week period without having a confirmed note from a doctor, or there's, you know, an IEP that allows for it or something like that. Because we do have some students, because of anxiety, do a partial day and thing, 2 days, 3 days a week. So we have certain exceptions. For most of our listeners, if you don't have a medical note and you are absent more than 5 days in a 10-week period, which is kind of a strange number of weeks, because we typically, a quarter is typically about 9 weeks. So when you think about that language, it's around a quarter for us. You're considered habitually absent or habitually truant. And several things happen once that definition is met. And one is we have to have similar to a almost like an IEP case conference, but it's for attendance. So you have to have a case conference where you have to have the parent there. You have to have someone from the prosecuting office that deals with truancy present. And you have a committee that looks at different interventions you're going to do to make sure the student gets to school more often. We have a state attendance officer currently. We will have to have a corporation attendance officer, and they will meet annually with the state attendance officer. So I assume that'll be some sort of conference meeting, or they'll come to a regional meeting or do a Zoom call where everybody across the state meets with that person. So that will be part of that as well. But the important pieces are that we would have to notify the juvenile office of the county prosecutor once that happens. We would have to convene this conference, and we would have to work on improving the attendance. So I think it's important for our listeners, especially our parents, to understand that our handbooks and our board policy will be updated this summer to be compliant with the new state law. And that, again, that's Senate Enrolled Act 282. If anybody wants to go out and actually see the language of the bill, you can just Google Indiana Senate Bill 282. And there's actually a website, the Indiana General Assembly, that has the final version. They can read through it for themselves. So that there's some big changes coming, both instructionally because of Senate Bill 1 with reading and also with Senate Bill 282 regarding attendance. I think it's important for our parents and listeners to understand.
What an excellent summary. Reading, we have long known, is the key to doing well after third grade. And it only gets more and more difficult for a child if they are deficit with their reading skills. And attendance, that's a life skill, really. Even once you're out of school, if your attendance is poor, life is going to be difficult. So these are two really important issues. They represent some pretty significant changes to the school corporations. I really appreciate the review that you've provided our listeners. Very valuable, very, very, very valuable. Andrew, to shift gears on you, I wanted to ask you if you could talk just a little bit about the upcoming e-learning day on April 8th.
Yes. So as everyone probably knows, that we are going to be in the path of the total eclipse on April 8th. And so we originally were looking at maybe an early release. We thought we could get kids home by 1 o'clock. Well, we've gotten more and more information. And ultimately, we've received several notifications from various county and various state agencies about traffic concerns. And those concerns include like delayed response for safety vehicles. Let's say we have to call an EMT or an ambulance to get here. There'd be a delayed response right here on this campus with East Central High School, East Central Middle School, and then North Dearborn Elementary. It's very close to State Route 1, State Route 46, and I-74. Big open areas with large parking lots. We expect a lot of people here. And it became a safety concern that we could have on just those three campuses alone, 3,000 students and about 400 staff members, and potentially a delayed response from, you know, a medical emergency or something like that. So that was a concern. And then just the traffic that they're talking about as well trying to get students home and being on, you know, a bus for too long a time. We'll have distracted driving going on with the eclipse. They're talking about cell phone outages potentially during that time because of a dense population of people being here for that. So we decided just to do an e-learning day that day instead. Our teachers are working on it. I shared some Eclipse resources the state has provided. So just to remind our parents particularly that is a planned e-learning day. It will count as one of the 180 days that we are required to go to school. We actually are allowed to have 3 e-learning days, and we didn't have to have any because of weather this year. We were able to make up our snow makeup days. So we didn't have to use any e-learning. So this is the only e-learning day we're using. And so we're still compliant with all that. But we will be conducting that, and I would encourage our students to take an opportunity to really witness this once-in-a-lifetime event. Be safe. Make sure our listeners are purchasing certified glasses, which you can go out and find certified glasses. I know there's local area agencies. I think Ripley County Tourism, some other, are providing free glasses. You can get them on Amazon, other places. Just make sure they're a certified pair of glasses, and be safe if you want to witness this. But ultimately, that was the reason why we ended up moving to an e-learning day that day.
Mm-hmm. I was speaking with a school corporation recently that indicated they are closing also on April 8th, and it's a very small town, and they are expecting an influx of people equivalent to three times the number of people that attend the Super Bowl. They were saying that they don't even know where the local people are going to go because there's not going to be any room for anybody. It's just craziness. But, fortunately, it's a very rare event. But, you know, like you say, be safe. Keep your head down, so to speak. Well, let me change topics on you again. Registration is coming up. So will you revisit the particular instructions for our visitors to make sure everyone is on the right page with the timing and the process of registration?
Yes, absolutely. Just to remind our listeners that we're currently taking pre-registrations, and included in that is in-district and out-of-district transfer applications. If you go out to our website at summondearborn.k12.in.us, again, that's sunmondearborn.k12.in.us. There's a menu that says Essentials. If you hover over that, a menu is displayed, and you click on 2024 to 2025 Enrollment Transfer Information. There are several forms that are there. We are currently accepting registrations for our preschool, four-year-old preschool at Sunman. It's $30 a day. It's an excellent program, beautiful facility with a licensed teacher. And I would encourage anyone that wants to consider a preschool, that is all day, and that includes before and after daycare as well. So that is actually from 7 a.m. till 6 p.m. is included in there if you want to take advantage of that with some daycare as well. So that's out there. It's called Tigertown Preschool. It's housed at Summit Elementary. Kindergarten pre-registration, we're currently accepting kindergarten. So if your student is 5 years of age by August 1st, they're eligible for kindergarten. If they're not five by August 1st, you can still enroll, and then you'll be asked to submit what's called a early entry appeal form, and that we ask for some additional information. And we do typically accept early entries depending on if they're ready for kindergarten and what their age is. The further you are from August 1st, the less likely it is. But we have several that turn five later August or September that are typically accepted. So that's out there. We are currently planning our kindergarten roundup day that will be at the school on May 7th. So Summon, Bright, and North Dearborn will all have the kindergarten roundup. So by pre-registering, you'll get more information on that, and it'll make it a quicker process, and they'll be expecting you. So that's on May 7th from 6 to 7 at all three of our elementary schools. And then we'll do a student parent orientation on the first 2 days of school, which are August 7th and 8th. We do half one day, half the other. So that's the kindergarten registration. We're also, just a reminder on that page, is in-district and out-of-district transfers. Board policy requires that you apply each year. We do note it, ask if it's a new application or a resubmittal or existing application. And then I accept all those by May 1st. And then I look at them all and make a determination. And we try to honor all that we can. And then after May 1st, we staff accordingly, and then it's a first-come, first-served basis based on class sizes and capacity. So I would encourage all of our current in-district and out-of-district transfers, plus any new ones, to go out there soon before the deadline. But have your full consideration for that transfer application. After the deadline, it is on a capacity basis and class size basis.
Well, Andrew, a good conversation today and quite informative for our listeners. Fine job. And hey, I want to thank you for joining me once again here today on Super Chat.
Thank you, Gary.
So I have been your host, Gary Puckett, and we are happy that you have opted in to listen today and plan to join us here monthly, year round. So until our next show, this has been Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman Dearborn Community Schools.